simply sharing Jesus. Let's say that together. Simply sharing Jesus. Now, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave his followers a basic command for what to do next. Aren't you glad that God can tell you what to do next? We can look in the Word for that. We can incline ourselves to the Spirit for that. But his words before he ascended to heaven served as marching orders for generations of professed believers. From Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, the Amplified transliteration reads it like this: "Make disciples as you go along your way, helping people to learn of me, helping people to believe in me, helping people to obey my instructions, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And know this, that I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, I am with you even to the end of the age." Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that Jesus is with you perpetually? Now God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is stirring us up to motivate us afresh today along these lines, additionally, from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. The Apostle Paul speaking to believers of his day, and God by His Word and by His Spirit speaking to us today, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him, catch this now, unless someone tells them? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now maybe you would agree with me, I've been in that place, and maybe you have been there as well, that we have many times overcomplicated these biblical instructions to simply share Jesus with others. We at times have made sharing our faith an intimidating and a daunting task, but it doesn't have to be. Whether you regularly share your faith with others or have always found reasons not to, anybody here with me ever finding reasons not to share your faith? But either way, God by His Word and by His Spirit is stirring us up and motivating, I believe, each of us afresh today to get back to the basics of simply sharing your faith in Jesus with those who have yet to come to know Him in a personal way. How many of you here know a person or two that needs to come to know Jesus in a personal way? And maybe you're the one to tell them about it. Now maybe you're like me, and I've been there at times, and you shrink back from sharing your faith because you don't know what to say. What am I going to say? How am I going to say it? And it can be a little bit nerve-wracking as you approach the consideration of talking to someone about Jesus. Or maybe you are sharing your faith in Jesus with others, but you aren't seeing any results. Or you're not seeing the results that you would like to see. People aren't committing their lives to Christ. And you're wondering if you're doing something wrong. Anybody here ever feel like that other than me? But I was reminded of an account in the book of Acts, and you can just make a note of this. In Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 32, I'm going to just encourage you to read that during this week. But it's the Apostle Paul, and he's sharing the good news about Jesus in the context of a group of Greek philosophers. And when you read through that and you get to the end of that bracket of Scripture, you see that categorically there were three different responses to the same message. Some laughed at him with contempt. Anybody ever laugh at you since you've been a Christian as you talk about Jesus? Well, you're in good company, because the Apostle Paul was one of those who delivered the message, sharing the message of Jesus Christ. And some that listened to him laughed at him with contempt. But then, catch this now, some wanted to hear more. Have you ever been in that place where you're talking to someone about the Lord or about something, about your testimony, and you get the impression that, hey, they'd like to hear more? And then the third category is that some joined him and became believers. Amen? It's not altogether different from the responses we're going to get today, so we can be encouraged. And make no mistake about it. When you share your faith in Jesus, catch this now, it's not on you if the person doesn't accept what you're sharing. Amen? Doesn't that relieve you a little bit? Your responsibility is to simply share Jesus with others, pointing them to biblical truth, and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto the salvation of souls, as we decree it, as we share it. It's your job simply to share it. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to influence that person's decision. Amen?
Amen?
But ultimately, catch this now, every person has a free will to decide one way or the other. That's not on you. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is motivating each of us afresh today, I believe, along these lines from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. The Apostle Paul was reminding believers then in the Corinthian church, and God, by His Word and by His Spirit, I believe, is reminding us afresh today that sharing Jesus with others, catch this now, is not so much about eloquent words as it is as much about relying on the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever come away from witnessing to someone and say, oh man, I really fumbled over my words there. I really didn't put it together the way that the Bible tract that I read yesterday put it together. Oh my, I wonder if I made any ground with that person or not. Well, take heart, because the Apostle Paul said that sharing Jesus with others is not so much about eloquent words as much as it is relying on the Holy Spirit. And this is how he put it. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when I came to you, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you about God's plan of salvation." Doesn't that relieve you? He said, "I came to you in weakness. I was even timid and trembling. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive rhetoric, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I did this, catch this now, so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God." Amen?
Amen.
Like the Apostle Paul, I have found myself, and maybe you have found yourself as well, we can sometimes feel timid in our approach to others as we attempt to share Jesus with them. And at times, we can even feel unqualified or ill-equipped to effectively share the good news about Jesus. Anybody here with me ever felt that way? But as born-again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, be encouraged afresh today that you have the qualifying and the equipping presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Amen?
Amen.
Giving you the capacity to carry out the great commission of simply sharing Jesus along the way of your goings.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
One transliteration of Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples of the nations. And when you break that down into the original Greek root words, it basically says, along the way of your going, make disciples. Along the way of your going. Reaching people groups, reaching the people along the way of your going. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a missionary to Ethiopia. Amen?
Yeah.
Although God may call you to that. God bless you if He does. Amen?
Amen?
But you have the Holy Spirit in you to give you the capacity to simply share Jesus along the way of your goings and be encouraged afresh today. You're not going into it alone. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and Jesus encouraged His disciples along these lines from Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. And He encouraged them along these lines as God by His Spirit is encouraging us, motivating us afresh today. Jesus said to His disciples then, and God by His Word and by His Spirit saying to us today, do not be anxious about what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will prompt you in that moment what you ought to say. Amen?
Amen?
Just incline yourself to the Holy Spirit. Sure, you can have an initial strategy as to how you're going to approach the person. But then in the midst of it, incline yourself to the Holy Spirit. Have a simultaneous conversation, if you will, with the Holy Spirit. What would the Holy Spirit have you say to this person? And just say that in the midst of that interaction. The Holy Spirit may give you something to say that has nothing to do with what you're talking about in the natural with that person. It may be a word of knowledge. It may be a word of wisdom. It may be something that the Spirit knows that person needs to hear, and only they know that thing. And then when you say it, they're going to say, wow, how did you know that? Amen?
Amen.
But we have to discipline ourselves.
Yes.
It's a spiritual discipline to incline ourselves,
yes,
to the Holy Spirit simultaneously as we're engaging people. Amen?
Yes.
And when we do, we'll hear what God has to say to that person.
Yes.
Amen?
That's right.
And it doesn't have to be, thus saith the Lord. It doesn't have to be, well, God is telling me this about you. I would recommend you not approach it that way with an unbeliever, that you would just say it. And if it's from the Lord, the Holy Spirit's going to bring it home to their heart. Amen? And they're going to say, how did you know that? And say, well, I didn't really know it, but God knew it and He wanted me to share that with you. Amen?
Amen.
That would be a pretty powerful convincer for someone to,
yes,
submit their lives to Christ. Amen? We've had that happen here over the years here at Kingdom Outpost.
Yes.
Where words of knowledge and words of wisdom have come into a person's life unto the salvation of their soul.
Yes. Wow. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
I have a daughter-in-law that's in that category.
Yes.
Once atheist, agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
My son Friendship evangelized her for a year at Syracuse University. And the first time she came here to this church service, first time she had ever been to a born-again Christian church service, she got a word of knowledge that spoke something about her childhood that only she knew, that she never said to anybody. And that was what caused her to be reaped into the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now, you don't have to be a prophet or a prophetess to do that. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And by the Spirit of God, you can prophesy to people in a very practical way, in a paraphrasing way. Amen. Not in a religious way or a churchianity way. The Apostle Peter encouraged believers of his day along the same lines, and God by His Spirit is stirring us up afresh today from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. First and foremost, let's say that together. First and foremost, acknowledge Jesus Christ by giving Him first place in every area of your life. That's first and foremost.
Amen.
Are we giving acknowledgement to Jesus Christ in every area of our own lives first? Then, after that, always be ready to give a reason for the hope and confident assurance that you have in Christ.
Yes.
And yet doing so, catch this now, with gentleness and respect. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody here ever been Bible thumped other than me? I have a couple of bruises in the spirit from being Bible thumped in the days leading up to me coming to know Christ. I wouldn't recommend it. Although it can have its place if the Spirit is leading you. The Apostle Paul, additionally, was motivating Timothy, and God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is urging each of us afresh today. From 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, the Amplified transliteration says it like this: keep your sense of urgency. Keep your sense of urgency to proclaim the good news. Do you have a sense of urgency in your comings and goings? Do you have a sense of urgency along the way of your goings to be alert and attentive to proclaim the good news to the people around you? Being ready when the time is right, whether the opportunity is convenient or inconvenient. Anybody here other than me have inconvenient opportunities to talk to people about Jesus? I used to have opportunities like that over and over and over again when I was a chiropractor in my Christian chiropractic office, and the Lord would give me opportunities to witness to people in the treatment room, and it was not convenient to the schedule. It was absolutely inconvenient. But when I went with it, guess what God did? He worked out the schedule on the other end of it. And I would come out of the treatment room and say, okay, how backed up are we? And I would come out and say, oh, wow, everything is in pretty good shape out here. Amen. And so God, by His Spirit, is encouraging us to maintain and to keep that sense of urgency in your comings and goings wherever you are. Be ready. Whether it seems convenient or inconvenient. And don't talk yourself out of it because it's inconvenient to your schedule. Amen?
Amen?
God has placed each of you in a unique mission field. Every born-again believer is a missionary. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us has a unique mission field. You have a unique mission field that's a little bit different than mine, that's a little bit different than yours or hers or his. Amen?
That's right.
As you find yourself in the midst of people in your daily comings and goings, you have a unique circle of influence. Maybe you don't think of yourself as an influencer, but you have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen?
Yes.
Who's the ultimate influencer. Amen?
Amen?
And so you have a circle of influence that presents you with opportunities to reflect the love of Jesus and to share the good news of His salvation to the people around you. Amen? It's a responsibility that we have. It's a commissioning that we have, that Jesus has commissioned us to it. And so we have a responsibility to it. And it's not meant to be burdensome or nerve-wracking. It's meant to be encouraging. It's meant to be motivating. That you could actually have the capacity to reach someone in a way that would change the eternal destiny of their life. They're not going to go to hell now. They're going to go to heaven. Amen? Just try to get that picture in your mind. And make no mistake about it, you don't have to be a Bible scholar or a pastor or a missionary to simply share Jesus with others. You don't have to have the gift of evangelism to do the work of an evangelist. Amen?
Amen.
Just think of all the people that you come across on any given day who are in need of the hope that God the Father offers everyone through Jesus. Sometimes we lose sight of that in the course of each day. I believe the Holy Spirit is stirring us up today with an urgency to be alert and attentive, alert and attentive, alert and attentive like never before, as the time of the Lord's second coming is accelerating like never before, and souls are in the balance.
Amen.
And certainly after the church is raptured, the people that are left behind are still going to have an opportunity to receive Christ, but they're going to pay a bigger price at that time. There'll be a bigger price to pay for people who receive Christ after the church is raptured. But those that are left behind hopefully will remember what you said to them before you got raptured. Amen?
Amen.
That's the Lord recently encouraged me in my prayer time and said, as you minister the gospel to people in your comings and goings, as you share Jesus with people, as you share your testimony with people, you may not see the result of it. And even after you're raptured, it's still going to bear fruit because the seed of the gospel was sown in them. And they're going to remember you after you're gone. And say, I think that's what that guy was talking about. Amen?
Amen.
Keep your eyes and ears open. Keep your eyes and ears open for people that you can talk to. And catch this now. Listen for ways to connect or bridge the conversation to the hope that you have in Christ. There's so many opportunities within a conversation. If you're living a life with a biblical worldview, you could be talking to someone about what's going on over in the Middle East. And you know what's going on there and why it's going on there because you have a biblical geopolitical worldview. Amen? And there's so many things you can talk with people about that unsaved people are so nervous and concerned about. And in a paraphrasing kind of a way, you can just bring into the conversation what the Word of God says about all that. Amen? And you look for opportunities to bridge the conversation to talk about the hope that you have in Christ. Amen? Now, sometimes it involves catching up with unsaved family members by phone or text or even family reunions. How many of you here enjoy family reunions? Anybody here? I get a little skittish. But it's an opportunity, right? And maybe it's using social media communications to encourage a friend who needs Jesus in their life. Or maybe letting a coworker know that you are praying for him or her. Sometimes just simply saying that is a way to begin to till the soil of their soul to receive the seed of the gospel. Amen. Maybe it's servant evangelism, making a meal for a neighbor in need, shoveling their driveway, mowing their lawn, just doing something in the love of Jesus for them. Amen. The one that I love is asking a cashier how his or her day is going. I love cashiers at Wegmans. Because I see the cashiers at Wegmans and I'm like, okay, Lord, who am I going to? I'm not going to the cashier with the shortest line. I'm looking for the cashier that the Spirit of God wants me to go to. Amen? And then when you engage that, you know, really listen and watch for the tone and attitude and the body language of their response. In order to get a sense of how to respond in Christ according to the need of the moment. Amen? According to the need of the moment. Let's say that together. According to the need of the moment. Amen? The Spirit will show you that, right? And I'm reminded of one cashier at Wegmans in the recent past that I had repetitive interactions with the same cashier by the leading of God's Spirit. It seemed that every time I went to Wegmans, she was there. And she was working. And she was a lady probably in her late 50s or early 60s. And I just had repetitive interactions with her by the leading of God's Spirit. And I would just keep going to her because the Spirit was leading me. And she was always there. And so I would talk with her. Hey, how are you doing today? How's it going? How are you? Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing well. Such and such. And back and forth over and over and over repetitive times. Now, what I try to do when I go to Wegmans is I try to put the stuff that's in my cart in a very organized fashion on the belt. It's just something that I do that I think helps the cashier, right? And so I have things put together on the belt in a categorized way. And she commented on that. And she said, well, thank you so much for putting your stuff on the belt in such an organized fashion. She said, it really helps. And I said, well, you know what? I said, I think that people don't realize that your job is more difficult than what it seems. You know, and so we'll just work as a team here, I said, and we'll try to make it a little bit easier for you, you know. So just talking back and forth. Repetitive times, I can't tell you how many times it was. Multiple times interacting with this one cashier. And so as time goes on, she starts to say to me, You're so nice. I'm not bragging or complaining. I'm just giving you a real life experience, okay? You're so nice. And I said, well, praise God. Now I start saying, well, praise God. So if someone says, you're this, and it's a good thing, you say, you give glory to God, right? And I said, well, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, so now we get into this realm of interaction, right? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God, right? And each time that I would come away from her, I would say, have a blessed day. Decree blessing on it. Have a blessed day. Oh, thank you. You're so nice. Okay? That wasn't my goal. But I'm saying, okay, Lord, what are you doing here? So now finally one time I go in there and I see that she has Bell's palsy on the left side of her face. And her face is all drooped down and she's there and she's looking all despondent. But there she is. She's still working. And so I get up to her and I say, hey, what's going on? And she starts telling me about the struggle she's having with this Bell's palsy and what the doctors are saying, that she may not recover from it. You know, that it looks like permanent damage. Looks like permanent damage to those nerves. And I said, you know what? I said, would you be okay with me praying for you for that? Oh, yeah, sure. I said, can I pray for you right now? Now there's a couple, three people behind me. And the enemy's going, there's people behind you. They have frozen food. Stuff is melting. You're going to pray for her now? And you just got to tune that out, right? And she said, oh, yeah. So I just put my hand on her shoulder and I just prayed a prayer of healing over her. A declared healing over her in the name of Jesus. And she said, thank you. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to continue praying for you. I said, but you know what? I said, you can have the healing power of God in your life every day of your life for whatever you need. And I said, and here's one way that you can find out about that. And I gave her the Steps to Peace with God booklet. And she said, oh, okay. I said, this is not a pitch for any religion or for any particular church. It's a pitch for you to come to know Jesus personally, the healer of healers, as your Savior and Lord. Oh, she says, thank you. Well, I'm Catholic. And I said, well, praise God, I said, it's not about Catholic or whether you're Catholic or not. I said, I'm just going to ask you, before you go to bed tonight, get on your knees and pray and ask God to show you what He has in mind for you through this booklet. Oh, okay. And she put it in her pocket. Fortunately, she didn't throw it in the garbage, at least that I saw. She put it in her pocket. So then from that point forward, I had one other interaction with her. And she seemed after that a little bit skittish. She seemed a little bit skittish after that, right? And so I went to her two or three more times after that. And I continued praying for her. And I noticed that her Bell's palsy was getting better. And I said to her, I said, it looks like you're getting better. And she said, yeah, well, they're doing this and they're doing that. I said, well, praise be to God. I said, I'm going to continue to pray for you that you would fully recover from that in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you. She stopped saying I was nice, but she seemed a little bit more skittish after I gave her the Bible tract, right? But the results are not in my hands, right? Right? And then it got to the point where it felt like the Spirit said, okay, now I'm releasing you from that. I'm releasing you from interacting with her. Keep praying for her. And so now after that, when I would go there, I would see her and I would walk by her, and sometimes she would see me and make eye contact, and I would give her the thumbs up, but I continue praying for her. And I continue praying as the Spirit burdened me to pray for her, right? Now, to my knowledge, she didn't make a decision for Christ. But I followed the Spirit's lead over a period of time, amen, to repetitively interact with her and continue to pray that at some point she would come to the realization that she can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Amen. So I'm not bragging or complaining, just giving you an example of how we can incline ourselves to have these intentional interactions with people. The Spirit of God is urging us to be more intentional.
Yes.
To be more intentional about simply sharing Jesus with the people around us. To do the best that you can to know your audience as you share with people. And to take into consideration to use verbiage that they will understand and be able to relate to. Amen?
Amen?
Be cognizant of the fact that the words and phrases that we use in our church meetings or among other believers might seem like a foreign language to a non-believer. And the unsaved people in your circle of influence may not tell you that they don't understand what you're saying. And so don't shrink back. Catch this now. Don't shrink back from asking them if what you're saying makes sense to them. You know, if you get to that point where you're going back and forth with them, say, does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? And that may help them to say, well, not really. I don't know what you're talking about. I wish you would leave. My frozen foods are melting. But you can try to clarify things the best you can. But here's the point. Just keep it simple. Keep in mind that surveys of believers in the church have revealed that most believers were witness to directly or indirectly, catch this now, an average of 7 times before making a decision for Christ, on an average. It's just a generality, but it's a general kind of a statistical survey. And so catch this now, knowing that most times when you witness to someone, you're sowing a seed of the gospel in them to be reaped at a later time. Does that encourage you? And at times, catch this now, you will witness to someone and have an opportunity to reap them, never having sown into them. I've had multiple opportunities like that, particularly when I was in my chiropractic Christian office. People that came in, they were ripe. It was easy to reap them. Amen? The toilsome work of reaching people for Christ is the plowing and the sowing, the plowing and the sowing, the plowing and the sowing, amen? Reaping is easy because they're ripe, amen? You're going to reap where you never sow. Amen? And God, by His Word and by His Spirit, encourages us along these lines from John chapter 4. Jesus was speaking to His disciples then and encouraging them. And God, by His Spirit, is encouraging us today from John chapter 4, verses 35 to 38. The Living Bible reads it like this. Do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now? See, the Lord was trying to dispel their natural sense of timing. Amen? Look around you, Jesus said. Lift your eyes, for vast fields of human souls are ripening all around us and are ready now for reaping. The reapers will be paid good wages and will be gathering eternal souls into the granaries of heaven. What a beautiful picture. Catch this now. What joys await the sower and the reaper together? Yes. Amen? For it is true that one sows and someone else reaps. And you will reap where you didn't sow. Because others did that work. And you brought in the harvest. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's really motivating for me. That's encouraging for me. To be more intentional. about sowing a seed of the gospel. Amen? And then you can water that seed with prayer. 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 Lord, I pray that the seed of the gospel would take a deep and abiding root in their soul. That it would bear exceeding and abundant fruit unto the salvation of their soul. And with the authority and power of Jesus, I bind the thievery of Satan over the seed of that word in their soul. Amen? Oh, you have the power and authority to pray like that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, most people don't come to faith in Christ through arguments and debates. Anybody here ever argued about Jesus with someone? Anybody here ever debated someone about Christianity? Well, most people don't come to faith in Christ through arguments and debates. But rather, catch this now, they are often won over by coming to the realization. When a person comes to the realization of who Jesus Christ really is, you can help them to know that. And the difference that He can make in their lives. Amen?
Amen.
And so one of the best ways to share your faith and point others to Jesus is to live a godly life yourself. Do you look different from the world? Or are you just blending in with the world? Are you an acculturated Christian? Or are you a Christian that's standing out from the cultural ways? Amen? Where people notice you and say, what's different about your life? That's one of the best ways to share your faith and point others to Jesus, is to live a godly life yourself by showing people in your circle of influence that you really care about them. Do you really care about the people around you? Because I'll tell you what, God cares about them. Do we have the heart care of God the Father for the people around us? Or are we in a place of dismissiveness with the people around us? Are we making it a point to spend some time with the people around us to help them with whatever needs they may have? Taking the time to offer to listen to them when they're having problems of one kind or another? I know that some of you here have shared with me what your experiences in the workplace have been, where people are just coming to me and sharing their problems with me. Praise God. Amen? Oh, I'm in the middle of my work day and, you know, Larry's coming over to me and telling me about all his problems. Well, I got stuff to do. Are you kidding me? The Spirit of God is drawing him to you. Amen? See it for what it is in the Spirit. Amen? Guess what? God will work everything else out in your work schedule. Amen? He'll work everything else out. Just like He did for me when I was in the chiropractic business. Now, you may not be able to answer all their questions. I mean, sometimes I've been at a juncture with people and say, you know what, I can't really completely relate to what you're saying, you know, because I've never really been through that. But I can empathize with you, and I'm going to be praying for you. Would that be okay? You get their permission, right? If they say no thank you, pray anyway. Amen. Amen. But you can have an opportunity to share the relative realities of what Christ has done in your life that could relate to what they're coming to you about. Amen? And if you're finding that it's very difficult for you to do that, then catch this now, sobering point. It might be that God is using your apparent uncomfortability to speak to you about your own need to walk more closely with Him every day. Ouch. Because the more intimately we're walking with Him, the more intimate we are with Him, the more in sync our heart is going to be for the people around us. With His heart. Amen?
Amen.
The heart of Jesus is to seek and save the lost. And catch this now, the more closely you're walking with Him, the less uncomfortable you will be to share Him with others.
That's right.
That's all there is to it.
Yep.
Are you pressing into His Word every day? Are you praying daily for those in your circle of influence? Or are you just coming home and complaining about them? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. These people that I work with. Ah, maybe I'll just go work somewhere else. Anybody here ever been there? Turn your complaints into prayers, amen? Turn your cares into prayers, amen? See what God might do to prepare the hearts of those people for the next day that you go into work, amen? Amen. Maintaining consistent, meaningful relationships with other believers is important as well. To encourage one another in our challenges to reach others for Christ. Be encouraged and motivated fresh today. Your passion to share Jesus with others will naturally flow out of the intimacy of your relationship with Christ. Think about the people that reached out to you before you were saved. Are you grateful for those people? And others will see that there's something different about you and be drawn by the evidence of the Holy Spirit through you to know what that is. What is it about you? There's something about you. Has anybody ever had somebody say that to them? The evidences of your intimacy with Christ through your kind words, through your patience, through your temperance and respectful deference. Oh, wow, that seems like a lot to do, Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, while the evidence of a godly life is essential to validating your faith in the midst of people and demonstrating the life of Christ through you to others, people still need to hear the gospel spoken. Amen. Some Christians have said to me, well, I just live a godly life and I don't have to say anything. Oh, yes, you do. As the Spirit leads you, you have a responsibility to say the gospel. Amen. They need to hear you say that God loves them. And you can just simply say to something, you know, God loves you. And then just wait. And you might see a tear well up in their eyes. And you might hear them say, like I've heard a couple of people in the past say, wow, I was just asking God about that. I was just thinking about committing suicide this morning. And now I'm not going to do it. They need to hear you say that Jesus died for them. They need to hear you say that they can have eternal life. You're just saying what God's Word says. Amen? And when you communicate the simple gospel message, be ready to back it with stories of God's power from your own life experience. You have a testimony, amen? You have veins of testimony that you can share from your own personal experience. And you can say, all I know is this, I was blind and now I can see, amen? Amen. Just like the blind man in John chapter 9, right? Everybody was trying to figure out, was he blind because of his sin? Was he blind because of his parents' sin? Why is he blind? And Jesus said he's blind for this reason, that the power of God would be displayed through his miraculous healing. Amen. And then everybody was questioning the blind man afterwards. How are you able to come to see? And what happened? And bing, bang, boom. And what did he say? All I can tell you is this. I was blind and now I can see. And Jesus did it. Amen. Yeah. Nobody else said anything after that. And categorically, we can paraphrase the same thing. This is how I was, and this is what Jesus did for me. Take it or leave it. Believe me or not. And I'm not who I was, and I'm not yet who I'm going to be. Amen? Be attentive to share stories of God's power from your own life experience. No matter how ordinary your life may seem, you have a story in Christ to tell. And catch this now, you never know what it might mean to someone until you share it. Amen? Amen. Jesus often talked in parables so that people could better grasp God's plans and instructions and power. And in the same way, in a similar way, we can use our personal experiences and stories to relate to others in telling them about Christ. Amen? Keep it simple. Focus on a few key points from your own testimony that could relate to the person that you're witnessing to. Maybe you might want to jot it down ahead of time. Maybe you should jot down just a 3-minute testimony of your life. What was life like before you accepted Christ? Just jot it down. How did you receive Christ? Just jot it down. What did you hear? How did you respond? Why did you choose to put your trust in Christ? How has your life changed since you've accepted Christ? Sometimes it helps just to have some time of self-reflection and kind of write down your 3-minute testimony, right? And have that top of mind so that you can communicate it to someone. You don't need to have a perfect walk with the Lord to witness to someone. Amen? Anybody here other than me have an imperfect walk with the Lord? You don't have to have a perfect walk with the Lord to witness to someone. Even if you've stumbled along the way in your walk with the Lord, don't let that cause you to shrink back from sharing pertinent aspects of your testimony. Amen? And the most important thing, catch this now in my view, is to be honest in a way that is relatable. Letting them know how the Lord helped you to overcome the shortcomings that they may be struggling with. Amen?
Amen?
The Bible is filled with heroes of our faith, stories of God's people who stumbled along the way, and He still used them in powerful ways. Amen? Be motivated afresh today. The simple gospel message in and of itself isn't complicated. It's the good news that God has bridged the once impassable chasm between us and Him with the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
And you can talk to people about it by way of 4 simple truths. And you can use the Steps to Peace with God booklet as a visual aid if you get to that point with people. First of all, that God has a plan for peace in life. And God loves you and wants you to experience the peace and life that He offers everyone. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? And that's the plan that He has in mind for you. Amen? Second, our problem is that we are separated from God. By nature, we are all separated from God. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God is holy, but we as humans in and of ourselves don't measure up to His perfect standard. And the wages for sin is death. And so the price that we would pay for our sin is eternal death. You know, if you get to that point with people and you start talking about eternal death, that usually gets their attention. But you're just saying what God's Word says. Amen?
Amen?
Thirdly, God's remedy is the cross. God's love bridges the chasm of separation between you and Him. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave, He paid the penalty for your sins. That should be good news for people that you're talking with. The Bible says that He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to our sinfulness and live for righteousness. Amen?
Amen?
And fourthly, it comes down to our response to receive Christ. You cross the bridge into God's family when you accept Christ's free gift of salvation. The Bible says, to all who receive Him, believing in Him, He gives the right to become children of God. Amen? Just as the gospel message can be understood, just as the gospel message can be understood within the framework of 4 simple biblical truths that I just outlined, outlined in the Steps to Peace with God booklet, person becomes a born-again believer when they do four simple things. It's not as always as simple as it seems. But it comes down to four simple things. First, admit that you're a sinner and that you need the Savior. Second, be willing to turn from your sins and ask God to forgive you. That's repentance. Sometimes you might not want to use the word repentance when you're talking to someone, because that can put up some barriers. But you can say, be willing to turn from your sins and ask God to forgive you. Thirdly, believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Do you believe that or not? And fourthly, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Amen? God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is stirring to motivate each of us afresh with a renewed urgency to reach the people around us for Christ. From Romans chapter 10, verse 13, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Pray every day for opportunities with the people in your daily comings and goings. And when the opportunity presents itself, don't shrink back from offering to pray the sinner's prayer or a version of that with someone that you have been simply sharing Jesus with. Encourage them that if they pray with a sincere heart, then they will be assured of a life more abundant in this life and eternally in the life to come. Amen? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I want to turn away from my sins, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe He died for my sins and that you raised Him to new life. I want Him to come into my heart and to take control of my life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow Him as my Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Or a version of that. That the Spirit would help you to lead someone through. Amen? Now make no mistake about it. Whenever you have the privilege to lead someone in prayer to receive Christ, catch this now, you also have the responsibility to follow up with them, to come alongside them as far as you are able, to encourage them with next steps to grow in their relationship with Christ, amen? As far as you are able. Take that as far as you are able, amen? You may have to hand them off to someone else, amen? And I think that in closing, Proverbs 11, verse 30, conveys the essence of today's message. If you don't take anything else away from this message, take this away. The fruit of the consistently righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise captures and wins souls for God, gathering them for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Bottom line. Bottom line. Amen? Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now as the word of the Lord has come to you today.